And good morning. Such a joy to worship with you all and to look out on this room and see so many faces, many of whom I don't know yet. And so I just want to introduce myself to you. My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at City Church, and it's a joy to be able to worship together with you. As we are just singing those songs, I hope in my prayer, our prayer as a church, as I look at a room that is more than likely filled with at least some who are unsure about who Jesus is and unsure of the hope that he has come to give us. We sing those songs and we sing those words with hopefulness because of what Jesus has done in our life. I was just with a dear friend, a member of our church family yesterday, grieving the loss of a loved one. And even in our grief and grieving together, we were able to think of those words, "Oh death, where is your sting?" and have hope. And my hope and prayer is if you don't have that hope, if you don't know Jesus like that, would you come have a conversation with me or someone? There'll be a few people at the end of our time together. I'll be right down front here in the center. There'll be some other leaders in our church. That is what we are here to offer to you as our guest, as someone who's wrestling with the Lord. That's what we're here to do. And so nothing is more important than that. And so please come and let us tell you why we can sing as we do with hope and with joy, and why we can grieve, yes, with hope, and we can work through trial and we can suffer together, but we can do all of that with hope because of what Jesus has done. We're going to continue our study in the book of 1 Corinthians. I'd invite you to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you are a guest with us and want to catch up, this is your first Sunday hearing this sermon series, you can go back to wherever you find a podcast and look up City Church Melissa. You can also just go to our website and go to sermons, and you can find links to the messages that have preceded this. But we are coming in chapter 3 to the end of a point in Paul's argumentation against divisions in the church and calling the church to be unified. I mean, he does so illustrating, or he sort of illuminates the problem in the church in Corinth that he was addressing by talking about these factions that had divided up over the various leaders that they aligned with. If you're a parent in the room, you've probably had this talk. No, not that one that you immediately went to, but the other talk that says, hey, it's time to grow up. You've had to have that conversation at some point or another with your child, or perhaps you're the child and maybe you've received that conversation from mom or dad. Hey, it's time to grow up in this area or that. The Corinthian church had been divided themselves, in a sense, aligning under these various leaders in the church. And this division in the church was a detriment to the witness of the gospel, as Paul explained earlier in chapter 1, the end of chapter 1 and into chapter 2, that it is the message of Christ that we exalt, and it is Christ's name that we lift high. And when we divide up, this is a detriment to the message of the gospel. We don't have necessarily that same type of division. I doubt there's many of you who would say, although these are great people, hey, I am kind of Pastor Adams, you know, that he's my guy. No, Pastor Kyle's my guy. None of us are that special, all right? And so you probably don't do that. And so as we think about how to contextualize this sort of dividing up under various leaders, maybe it's a ministry area that you are sort of really proud of. Maybe it's some group of friends that you hang out with, but the rest of the church you sort of isolate yourself from. Perhaps it's other things in just the communal life of living in this community and church together where divisions can happen. Paul is writing to address these types of divisions. And his argument beginning in chapter 2 is that this is not the way that church, the people of God, the church of God should live. In chapter 2, he contrasted the natural man with the spiritual man. And as he was doing that in chapter 2, he was illuminating for the church in Corinth and for all of us that there are people who do not know Jesus, who are not walking with Christ because the Spirit of God has not opened up their eyes, lifted the veil to see Jesus for who he is. And if that's you, his plea would be to come and believe, just as I offered you just a few moments ago. This is the natural man who makes decisions purely based on the flesh. And Paul said, this is not who we are as the church, because the spiritual man, who we are as the church, at the end of chapter 2, he says, we have been given the mind of Christ, meaning we look and, as he says, judge, assess, we make determinations, we choose to live our lives looking at the world, at one another, through the lens of Christ. And so he's made this contrast between the natural man who doesn't make those types of determinations, doesn't look at the world through the lens of the gospel, doesn't see things through the way that Jesus would see them, but rather does so purely based on flesh. As we come to chapter 3, he's going to come back to these divisions between the names Paul and Apollos and Cephas, as he shared earlier, and he's going to point to the reason that we do that, the source of that problem. And the source of that problem is immaturity, immature in the faith. And this is a strong word from Paul, a challenge to the church in Corinth and a challenge to us to say, church, it is time to grow up in the faith. He is no longer looking at the lost, the natural man, as opposed to the spiritual man, the believer. Here, his focus in chapter 3 is going to narrow to the believer, where he says to the believer, you're either living according to the flesh or you're living according to the spirit. You can't choose to do both. We cannot be double-minded. It's time to grow up. So let us look at our text. If you're able, I'd invite you to stand out of reverence for God's word as I read 1 Corinthians 3, verses 1 through 9. But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. And even now you are not yet ready, for you are still of the flesh. For while there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not of the flesh and behaving only in a human way? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants through whom you believed, as the Lord assigned to each. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Lord Jesus, we do thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to be reminded by the power of your spirit of the calling upon our lives as your people to grow up in the faith, to mature, to move beyond infancy spiritually into men and women, boys and girls who are walking closely with you and who live in accordance with the scriptures, who are able to express and share the hope of Christ with the world around us. Would you help us today and in the days ahead to continue to grow up into our head, which is Christ? Would you do that for your glory and our good? We pray in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Paul begins this passage with the first three words, but I, brothers, which tells us here that he is addressing Christians. He's referring to his brothers and sisters in the faith. If you were with us last week, you'll remember that we picked up in chapter 2, verse 6, where he says, yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom. And he was speaking here to the mature in the faith. Here he's talking about, again, speaking to brothers and sisters in Christ, but he says, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh. He's illuminating for us in this first statement, this continuing of building upon this argument that he's making of the challenges that the church is facing, that there is a problem, and the problem is immaturity. That these believers in Christ are staying sort of stagnant in their growth. They remain immature. They're better off than the natural man of chapter 2 who doesn't know the things of Christ, whose, again, eyes have not seen the hope of Jesus. And yet, even though better off because of their salvation, they are not walking according to the Spirit. And they are not growing in the faith. This is a problem. He's going to show us how the effects of this problem when he gets to Paul and Apollos himself, talking about that leadership challenge. But ultimately, it is rooted in the problem of immaturity. I could not address you as spiritual people. And when he says spiritual people, he's saying I couldn't address you as mature people. Rather, I have to address you as infants in the flesh. I've got three sons. Some of you know my sons. And if you know my sons, you have also probably heard me refer to them. And I always refer to them using nicknames. They all have a nickname. My middle son is Little Cars. And little Karst, ironically, is the biggest of his three brothers now as a grown-up. He thinks he's as big as me as well. But anyway, he's called little Karst because he was the smallest of the three. For a long time, he was very small. Even comparative to his friend group, he was always sort of the smallest. And there came a point where the doctor said, hey, we maybe should just sort of check this out, just sort of get an idea of what's going on with growth plates and the sort to make sure he's growing up. There was this understanding that as he's growing, he should continue to grow physically, and if not, there's a problem there. There's a challenge. There might be something unhealthy in his body. When he was a baby, he was the littlest, and then he grew up, and now again, he's grown up. Thank the Lord, there wasn't anything wrong, but they wanted to investigate because there was a challenge. Spiritual infancy is the problem that Paul is addressing here, and he's saying that it is something that we should be concerned about. It's something that we should evaluate, we should do for ourselves, and within the body of Christ, we should be stirring one another up to grow. Spiritual infancy is marked by a few things. Look at what he says in verses 3 and 4. First, in verse 3, for you are still of the flesh. How do I know this? Because there is still jealousy and strife among you. Not only is he talking about them aligning and camping up under these leaders, Paul, Apollos, Cephas, and other things, but he's saying that there is jealousy and strife among you. This should not be so. This might shock you, but the church should not be a place of strife, friends. It should not be a place of division. It should not be a place of camping up into teams and attacking one another in jealousy. Rather, there should be a place. We are unified under the message of Christ. This is why Paul said, we preach Christ and Him crucified, which unifies us all in our need, in our sinfulness. We are all equal in our need for a Savior, in our need for redemption. Jealousy and strife should not be so. Verse 4, this jealousy and strife, he says, that we are acting in only a human way. For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not being merely human? He's saying that's not who you are anymore. We're not to live simply according to our flesh. We're not to live according to the world. Paul would write in Galatians chapter 5 that the church of Jesus Christ lives differently, looks differently than the world. When we look at the world around us, I don't have to tell you this. We talk about it almost every week. There is jealousy and strife and angst and division. We will divide over anything. And what does the world say to us as God's people when they look inside the church and they experience the exact same thing that they see in the world? What has changed? He's saying we can't live in our flesh as humans. We must be filled. We are filled by the Spirit, and therefore there should be growth. And the world should see a difference in the way that we relate to one another, the way that we care for one another, the way that we live together. There is a problem when immaturity remains. This is because, of course, there's an expectation that we would grow. There's an expectation that we would grow. Look back at verse 2. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready. You are not ready for it. And even now, you are not yet ready, for you're still of the flesh. He's saying that there is a point where we should be moving on. There's an expectation of growth. Again, thinking about my son, there was an expectation by the doctors that a healthy body should be growing in a particular way. And when that isn't happening, there must be something. Now, here's the reality, friends. We're all at various places in our walk with Christ in spiritual maturity. Immaturity in itself is not the problem. Immaturity is a place where we all start from, in a sense. We start with, as Pastor Kyle invited you and called you to, come and be baptized. And there's a place where there's a certain degree of maturity that says, I am going to confess. I know that Jesus Christ is Lord, and I believe in my heart that God raised him from the dead, and he did so to redeem me, to atone for my sins, and I can know that, and that's as far as you've gotten so far. And it might feel there's a certain level of maturity that comes with that, and you start there. This isn't based on age. This is based on our understanding of the gospel. And as we mature, as we grow in the faith, we're going to grow up from that place. Immaturity isn't the problem. It's the lack of growth. Because there's an expectation that as we walk with Jesus and spend time with him, we will grow. Of course, the evidence of immaturity in Corinth was aligning under these human leaders and allowing these alignments to divide the church. And so Paul says, I couldn't feed you solid food. I had to give you just milk, just like an infant who can only process milk for their first year. Then we get those invisible flakes and start mixing it in, that rice cereal, and start to move those babies on a little bit. There are believers in the church who are stuck, not that they started there, as we all do, at a degree of immaturity, but stuck in this spiritual infancy and can't take on more things like maintaining the unity of the body, dividing into factions over trivial things, who can't have a gospel conversation with their friends or their spouse or their children, who live no differently than their neighbors, whose calendars and bank statements testify with evidence that Jesus is in a second place position in our life. This is the reality of so many believers. And these words sting, but the reason is because we're so often living according to the flesh rather than living in accordance with the Spirit and in accordance with God's Word. And growth is what we should all be experiencing in some way. It's the natural trajectory of the Christian life. The author of Hebrews said as much to us. Some believe because they look at this text and they see such a common language between Paul. This is where one of the arguments that maybe Paul was the author of the letter to the Hebrews. We don't know that for sure, but you're going to see the similarities. Look at Hebrews chapter 5. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature. For those who have their powers of discernment, notice these words, trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. Growth should be the natural walk of our life as Christians. If you're a follower of Jesus, you should be growing in your understanding of the gospel and your ability to apply the gospel to your life and to the lives of others that you are in contact with. And here's the good news. Again, that might sting, but God has given you and given us everything we need to grow. He isn't lacking that. He doesn't, through Paul here, convict us and say, you're not growing and it's a problem and you're still drinking milk when you should have moved on to solid food. He doesn't say that. No, I've given you everything you need to grow. These won't be on the screen behind me because I want you to write them down and study them this week. John 16:13, Jesus says that I will give you the Spirit. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. We've been given the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that's what we need to grow is the Holy Spirit to illuminate our eyes, to study Scripture, to give us the ability to see the world, as he talked about at the end of chapter 2, through the lens of Christ, and the Spirit has been given to us. If you're a follower of Jesus, you are filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You have what you need to grow. We've also been given the Word, inspired by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all Scripture is God-breathed. It is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? May be complete, equipped for every good work. Everything you need to grow, you've been given through the Word of God, and you have the Spirit of God to help you understand the Word of God who wrote the Word of God. Keep that circle going. An amazing truth. We have the Spirit of God and we have the Word of God. Finally, you've been given the church. Some people don't like the church. Some people like to talk about there's no need for the church. I hear this all the time. Let me tell you why the church is so valuable and why God gave you the church and why we should thank God, and we all collectively, I do this every week, I hope you do as well, we should praise God for the gift of the church. Ephesians chapter 4:11-16. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up, for the growing up of the body of Christ. By the way, that's my job description, there's ever any accountability, when the elders ask me how I'm doing, they say, how are you doing in this? Are you equipping the saints to do the work of ministry? Is the city people, are the people of City Church engaged in ministry, growing up in this? Because this is what I'm called to do. Until, and we build up, verse 13, until we all attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, hear these words, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Do you see that playing out in the world? The world around us is tossed to and fro all the time. The deceitful schemes of the enemy lead the world to try to make decisions that no sane person would make, and we do that. It happens because they're tossed to and fro. Believers in Jesus Christ, we have an anchor. We have a solid foundation that prevents us from being tossed so about. Rather, verse 15, speaking the truth in love, we are not to be like that. We are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. I slowed down to emphasize that. Do you hear what happens? The teachers and the leaders equip the saints to do the works of ministry, and the church matures and grows up in the faith, and we grow up into the head of Christ who is leading us, and we see the world through the lens of the gospel, and we live in such a way that we operate so that we build one another up in love. It's this circular movement of the Holy Spirit in our midst, and this is the beauty and the gift of the church, is that we have one another to help one another grow, to strengthen one another. What a beautiful gift. So if you want to grow, which it should be the desire of every Christian, to mature in the faith so that you aren't tossed about by all the winds of the world, so that you aren't finding yourself divided under this camp or that, where there's lack of unity, you have the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the Church of Jesus Christ. I talked about that rice cereal. You know, as babies grow up, they move on from that little porridge material to that green mush known as baby food, peas. They start taking on some solid food, small bits and pieces, until they're grown men and you take them out and you feed them a Wagyu steak. That's what happens. And this is the same. This should be the story for the Christian. So yes, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's time to grow up. It's time to take a step. You start where you are. And so you might today, with zero condemnation, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. You might today just be eating rice cereal and say, okay, let's take a step, move from rice cereal to getting into that green baby food. That's just going to a Bible study, perhaps. Men, we've got two opportunities this week, 6 a.m. on Tuesday mornings. Yes, it's hard. Do hard things. Get up early and join us at 6 a.m. Thursday evening, if you just can't do that, which I challenge you on why, but if it's a calendar thing, I get it. Work happens, those sorts of things. Thursday evening, you've gotten these cards for a month now. Come to the Forge. I'm going to continue this talk. God ordained that. I didn't plan that, by the way. The schedule of the Forge and this sermon just sort of syncing up, that's in the Lord's hands, not mine. Ladies, Tuesday evenings, 6:30. Wednesday mornings, 9:30. Come to Bible study. There's childcare available to you. If you work, come to the one that does, it isn't during your work hours. Take a step. Move forward. Maybe it's you need to join the Thrive class. You're not looking at the lens through the lens of the gospel and how you deal with your finances. Take a step. Text the word THRIVE to 75709. Text any word to 75709 and something will come back to you and you will be able to grow in your faith. But you want to grow in that area. You should want to grow in that area. You should want to look at your finance. You're constantly burdened by money and it's just a beat down for you. It means that you're not living in accordance with the scriptures and how you deal with your money. And so come be equipped and encouraged and taught how to do that more effectively. You want to learn how to share the gospel with your neighbor or talk to your kids. There's opportunities after opportunity. We had a whole conference to begin this fall semester. It's called Growing in Jesus. I see some of the t-shirts still. To help equip, there's plenty of opportunities given. Moving on from that baby food, now we're getting into mac and cheese. Go invite your neighbor over. Have them come over to your house. Get to know them. Learn their burdens. That's where real community is formed, when you carry the burdens of another person alongside of them. Do that and help them to understand why Jesus is hope for whatever story they're walking through. Or if you really want to move into Wagyu beef, go repent to that sister that you've been holding a grudge against for 3 years. Go have a conversation with that friend that you need to have a talk with about Jesus. Talk with your children about the gospel. Now we're getting into some real meat and potatoes. Move from infancy to solid food. Just take one step. We're all at various places on this journey. Pastor Kyle and I went away. I told you about my trip to California. That was to grow in my giftedness and strength as a leader and as a shepherd, because it's important to always be growing. True discipleship, it means progress. It's not perfection, friends. That's a lie from the enemy. Yes, the standard is perfection, but when we couldn't meet that standard of perfection, God had an answer for that. He sent his son Jesus, the perfect one, to lay down his life for me. And my hope is in his perfection, not my own. But that doesn't mean that I don't keep trying and pressing on in the faith. This is why if you receive an email from me, my signature is always preceded by those words, pressing on. I do not consider myself yet to have achieved it, to have been made perfect. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and forgetting all the things, whether good or bad, that has happened in my life, I press on to the heavenly call of Christ Jesus. That's my charge, to keep pressing on and growing in the faith. Why? Because there's a call to maturity. Look at verses 5-9. What then is Apollos? What is Paul? Servants. Servants, people who helped you believe, he says, according to the Lord's plan. I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the growth. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives the growth. He who plants and he who waters are one, and each will receive his wages according to his labor. Hear this, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field, God's building. Neither he who plants nor the one who waters matters so much. It's God who gives the growth. And the growth comes from the Lord. This is the beautiful thing. This is the promise of the calling to maturity and to maturing in the faith. Did you notice what Paul says we are? He says of himself, those leaders in the church, we are God's fellow workers. And then he directs his attention to you, the Corinthian church, and to you, us, who are still reading this word preserved for us. You, the church, are God's field, God's building. And God is going to grow you up. You are his field. He is the one who planted the seed so that you might believe, and he's going to bring fruit. He planted and he put the gospel in your heart. He helped you see Jesus for who he is. He's not going to leave you there. He will finish the good work that he started in you. That's the promise of Philippians. And so we can hold on to that and know. Sometimes we get so focused on bearing fruit. That's one of the byproducts of our legalistic sort of view of the world, some of us who grew up in the church. You got to be bearing fruit, and we focus on bearing fruit. Do this and don't do those things, because that's what bears fruit. You know what God's word says about bearing fruit? Abide in me, and you will bear fruit. Spend time with me, and you will bear fruit. Stop worrying so much about the fruit bearing and inspecting the fruit bearing, and start worrying about, are you spending time with Jesus? Are you growing in your relationship with Jesus? And what are the things that are getting in the way of that you're deciding? And yes, you are making a decision to choose this over that. And as you make those decisions, you are stagnating your own growth spiritually. Choose to spend time with Jesus. And watch as you bear fruit. The promise is you're God's field. You're his building. He's not going to leave you in the same place. He's going to mature you. He's going to grow you up in the faith if we simply are obedient to do these things. Maturity is not optional, friends. It's God's design for us. And to remain stagnant in our faith is to resist his purposes. We have to open up our hands and say, Lord Jesus, have your will in my life. I want to spend time with you. Abide in him and watch as growth comes. Watch as God builds your life and you are strengthened for whatever he's called you to. Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher, in his Morning and Evening, yes, there's a book that calls you to spend time with Jesus in both the morning and the evening of all things. Imagine that. Twice a day. In Morning and Evening, he says, to stand still is impossible. We must either grow in grace or decline in it. We're going to be growing in our faith or we're going to be declining. This is where we decide. What will we give our attention to? So stop living in division. Stop allowing the world to cloud your schedule and all of your thoughts and your mind, and put your heart and mind and your focus on Jesus. Take practical steps this week. The worship team is going to come up and lead us, and as we close, we're going to sing to Jesus, and we're going to say these words, I will build my life on Christ. As you sing those words, I'd invite you to say, where is an area of your life that you need to take a step to building more on Christ and less on the ways of the world? And just ask the Spirit to inform that. And maybe you're unsure, but ask God to speak and reveal that to you, give you some clarity around how you can take a step of maturity, a step of growth in your faith. And one other challenge that I'll give you in that. As the Spirit reveals that to you, and I believe that he will, if you ask sincerely, he'll show you. He'll say, hey, you need to do this. You need to spend this time here. You need to go to that Bible study. You need to go talk to that friend. You need to invite that neighbor over. Whatever the Lord puts on your heart. My invitation would be, go tell someone about that. Come tell me about it. If you come say, hey, I'm going to come to men's Bible study on Tuesday. If I don't know you already, I'll ask your name. And then when I see you next week, I'll say, hey, I missed you at Bible study. I won't beat you down, but there'll be some accountability. Tell a friend so that they can help you mature in the faith. Whatever that is, just tell a friend. Maybe you tell your spouse, you tell your friend, hey, this is something that God put on my heart I want to do. I want to commit my life to doing. And ask the church, the body of Christ, to help you grow in that so that we can build one another up in love. That's the promise of Scripture if we would do that. So let's do it together, knowing that our growth, our maturity matters. The witness of the church matters. How we live matters. So let's all grow. Lord Jesus, we ask by the power of your Spirit that you would help us to grow, to mature. Perhaps that begins simply with confessing and repenting these areas where we've just intentionally chosen, or maybe just forgotten, the call on our lives to focus on you, to give you the attention that you rightly deserve. And so we've just sort of stagnated in our growth. Would you help us just to confess that and to take steps? I thank you that you are not a God of condemnation or judgment. You are a God who invites us to see you at work in our lives. And you've promised that if we would pursue you, if we would abide in you, Jesus, that our lives would bear fruit that would bring glory to your name, but also be so much for our good. And so we ask that you would do that. Help us as we are about to sing to build our life on you, Jesus. We pray all these things in Christ's mighty name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the preaching of God's Word from City Church Melissa. We meet Sunday mornings at 8:30, 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m., and we look forward to meeting you there soon. City Church Melissa, for the glory of God, the good of the city, and the hope of the world.